Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 33. Hear the word of God. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will devote to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what your body will wear. It is not more than food. The body is not more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in their barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are not more valuable than they are. Can any one of you by worthy and single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow, and they do not labor or spin.
Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God's clothes, the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, we will not much more than clothes you. You of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Grace, and thank you, Lizzie, for reading scripture for us this morning. For the scouts who have been in leadership this day, we give thanks. And for the ukulele choir and the choirs and the bells, haven't we been blessed today with some beautiful music? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As Grace and Lizzie read the scripture this day, it was from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, perhaps the most famous sermon ever given. And it was given in the context of Jesus healing and teaching and reaching out to the crowds. And knowing that the people that were gathered that day had so many different experiences that they brought with them to that place, that mountain, so to speak. And I'm very much aware that any time we gather in worship, I don't know what kind of experiences you bring to this place, but I know that we carry burdens that are invisible to the rest of us. All of us have our own challenges that we have, and our own needs, and our own struggles that we have. And that's one of the reasons that I open the worship service with words that just try to reaffirm this reality that I believe is rooted in the gospel, that all are beloved children of God, beloved children of God, that all belong, and that all can become the person God has called them to be through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That those words are important to us as we live in a world that so often assesses us and judges us by what we do, by our productivity at the moment, by what people say about us, by popularity in polls, which can be up and can be down, and by what we have, by our possessions, our what we wear, as Jesus said, what we wear, what the things that the world runs after, you know, what we wear, what we eat, what restaurant we went to the last week and posted on Instagram, that incredible buffet before us, you know, all those things that are external and superficial. But this world often assesses us and judges us based on those external things, based on the what we wear, our appearances, by what we have. And so in this kind of world, we need to know about something that is deeper. But the fascinating thing about living at this time in human history is that we can, most everyone can have a lot of things, at least temporarily. Many of us have the opportunity to possess a lot of things and to appear a certain way. Now, this would have been foreign to the world my grandmother grew up in, because in my grandmother's day, it was one of those, the experience was, if you had it, you had to pay cash for it. Okay, it was if you didn't have cash, unless you went to the bank and arranged a loan, which was a process, that you had to pay cash for things. Later in her life, she could buy things on layaway, the miracle of layaway, in which you could get something and the store would hold on to it as you paid it off again by cash. If you didn't have it, if you didn't have the cash, you didn't buy it. But a funny thing happened in the late 40s in New York City. There began to be a business practice of being able to take business associates to the restaurants in New York City, and they paid that on a credit, and that was called Diners Club. It began in the late 40s, and the world has seen a credit revolution since then, to the extent that, even in this worship service today, I can multitask. I could, if I was good at multitasking, I could actually buy something, you know, I could preach and Prime at the same time. I could get something on Prime, and I could perhaps even have it delivered this afternoon or tomorrow at the latest. This would boggle my grandmother's mind. This would blow her away more than the moon landing over 50 years ago, more than the halftime show by Shakira and J-Lo last Sunday. This would, you know, I could just see her put her glasses down and say, "Well, I declare. It would blow her away. It would blow her away more than those things, that you could just take one of these and buy whatever." And that's what we can do. We're free, friends. We have this freedom to buy almost whatever. I mean, we have credit limits, but you know, if I get close to my limit, I can probably get another card. And I could, you know, put some things on that card. That, you know, that feels free. That feels free. But the question is it really? Is it really freedom, or is it a temporary freedom that can lead to bondage? Jesus says that you know, we are free to run after all these things that the pagans run after, you know, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. We can run after all those things, but there is a price that we pay for those things. And on the back of your bulletin, there's places to note some of these things, but I'm just going to share briefly part of the price that we pay, and this is aggregate. I'm not getting to the blanks yet, but aggregately, we are free in America last year, $80 billion through lottery tickets. We were free to spend $225 billion on binge drinking. Now, not just moderate responsible drinking, binge drinking. I don't know how they parse that out, but $225 billion. $14 billion on elective cosmetic surgery. And I thought this was interesting. $12 billion on rock climbing and related kind of activities. $12 billion on rock climbing. But listen to this. $80 billion on injuries related to rock climbing, okay? So $12 billion, $80 billion. You got to take those together, okay? And then I thought this was interesting. $5 billion on Funyuns and Cheetos, okay? Funyuns and Cheetos. Now, I know some people are Funyun fans, but have you ever experienced Funyun breath close by, you know? There's a reason people are giving you Altoids, friends, you know? They're not just being nice. $5 billion on Funyuns and Cheetos. Now, that's aggregate. That's aggregate. And that's fun, But then it gets to be personal. So personally, on the back of your insert, or the bulletin folder, or the inside of the bulletin folder, this is the average American individual. This is reported by USA Today last year through a research group, and this is average American individual adult spends in a month. Now, you may be above average. I may be below average, but this is average. $750 a month on eating out, takeout, and drinks out. $750 a month on eating out, takeout, and drinks out. That's not family. That's individual American adults. This was interesting. $110 a month on impulse purchases. Impulse purchases. Not something that you necessarily need, but an impulse purchase. Now, this is where I struggle with this. Not just impulse, but getting a good deal. I am a sucker for a bargain. If my kids really wanted something, they could say, "Dad, this is a good deal. This is a great deal." And you know that's the way they could manipulate me into getting something. Impulse purchases, $110 a month, and this is depending on the source, $40 to $50 a month on coffee and bottled water. Okay, coffee and bottled water, $40 to $50 a month on coffee and bottled water. Which, by the way, every day, 60 million bottles, plastic bottles, fill our landfills. And so the little growing hill to the north of the Super Target, I call it Mount Louisville. It's the highest point, I believe, in Denton County, and it continues to grow. 60 million bottles of plastic bottles a day fill our landfills, okay? And then the average household wastes about this much money's worth of produce each year. And this is 4 years ago, so it may be more today, but $1,600. $1,600. Friends, that's a lot of broccoli, okay? That's a lot of broccoli. And you're probably saying to me, well, there's a reason there's a lot of broccoli in the land. But $1,600 on average household waste in produce each year. But here's the result. As a result, 28% of American adults say it is, or I'm sorry, 38% of American adults say it's impossible to save for retirement. Almost 40% say it's impossible to save for retirement. 28% can only pay the minimum on credit card debt, which averages, so that's 28% on credit card debt, which averages $8,400 per household. 60% of households don't have $1,000 to cover an unexpected expense. And 80% of us say they feel financial stress and worry. Stress that impacts our health, impacts our relationships, and is a contributor to marital stress and marital discord. 80% of us are in that category. So Jesus says, I want to free you from that. I want to offer real freedom from a kind of life that's burdened down with worry and debt and running after all these things that can give us a sense of uplift in the moment, but ultimately is a weight around our neck. Ultimately, it is a bondage for us. It's a bondage for us. And so Jesus says, instead of running after all these things, trying to find fulfillment in all these things, to seek first God's kingdom, to put God first in our life. But there's this fear that if I put God first in my life, then I'm going to miss out in this world we call FOMO world, fear of missing out. I'll miss out on all these things if I put God first. But what Jesus says is, and is the irony is that if you run after all these things, if I run after all these things, the reality is I will miss out. I will miss out on peace. I will miss out on ultimate fulfillment. I will live a life that's more burdened down with worry and stress if I do run after all these things and I don't put the kingdom of God first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom in God's righteousness. Put God first. Let God be the source of your security. Let God's word define who you are. You're not what you do. You're not what others say about you. You're not what you have. You are a beloved child of God through Jesus Christ. Let God's identity be your identity, your baptismal identity. You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Let that be the core of your being. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. He says, I will take care of the birds of the air. I take care of the creation. I've got the whole world in my hands. I will take care of you. But I struggle with that. I personally wrestle with that. I grew up in a home where my parents grew up in the Great Depression, and there was this sense of scarcity. There was this sense of, and particularly when my dad's health declined, he lost his job, and things were very tight. And I remember being 8 years old and not really picking up on a lot of things. But I remember my aunt took me in early August for shopping for some clothes. I had grown out of my second grade outfits, and she went and bought clothes for me. And I didn't think about it. I just thought, it's a nice day with my aunt. We went shopping and went to a movie. But it was because I found out later my parents didn't have any money. And so there was that sense of fear and scarcity that I wrestle with to this day. Scripture that I focus on every day comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'd like Schaefer's going to put it up for us, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present world, which when you read that first statement, it's easy to be dismissive of that and says, well, that's for somebody else because we're not rich in this present world. But if you compare where we are and the resources we have and the opportunities we have compared to the world that Paul was writing in, or really on any global standard, we are among the top percentages of people in the world today. So we are the rich, many of us, in this present world. Not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, because that's my temptation, is to focus on financial security as my security. But Paul reminds us, wealth is so uncertain. In any economy, wealth comes and wealth goes. Many of us remember 2007 and 2008. Wealth comes, wealth goes. It is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for enjoyment. I love that because it reminds us of where our hope is. Our hope is in God, the God who sustains us, who has sustained us with every breath that we've had so far, has been sustained by the gracious hand of God. Every heartbeat, every meal that we have has been sustained by the gracious care of God. All the things that I take for granted have been sustained by the gracious hand of God. Put our hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for what? For our enjoyment. God wants us to enjoy the gifts. And when we can put our hope in God, we don't have to live under the stress of it's all on me. But we can enjoy the gifts of God. I believe God wants us to enjoy our lives, enjoy the gifts. When we put God first, we can. We can. We're in a better place to do that. Command them, then, the rich in this world, like many of us, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. This is the pathway to life that really is life. Life that really is life. And that what we're finding in research, that Christian Smith of Notre Dame University wrote a book recently called The Paradox of Generosity. And The Paradox of Generosity, we think in this world if you give some away, you have less. But what he's found is the people who are generous actually have more. More in the sense of the richness of relationships, but also there's something about it that helps them also experience blessing financially. That study after study affirms that there's something about a generous spirit that opens the door to blessing in so many different ways. And so many of us, we want to be more generous. We want to. But the reality is, in America today, since 2000, in the year 2000, 70% of Americans gave something to charities or to the church. Today, that figure is 50%. That's gone down 20% in the last 20 years. Part of that has to do with all kinds of complicated reasons, and there's all kinds of complicated circumstances that we all face. But the bottom line is many of us want to be generous, but we don't know how. We don't know, given our current situation that we're in, we don't know how. We don't know how. And so next week we're going to have some folks that have been through Financial Peace University share some of their journey with us and how that has been a positive step for them. And there are Financial Peace University offerings. Our class has already begun, but there are two within 10 minutes of this church in the next few weeks. You can go on the Financial Peace University website and get information about that. And that's not the only program out there, but it is one of them. But that's one thing that we can do. We can take a step. The other thing that I was just fascinated by when I ran the numbers is that we can try an experiment. And that is, I'm experimenting with this month. I'm experimenting with not drinking out of a plastic bottle water for this month. I'm going to use the little water bottle, the little carabiner that is there on the pulpit. And I'm not going to get coffee at this place or that place. I'm going to brew my own. And I'm going to seek to not spend anything on impulse purchases, even if it's a good deal, Jacob. I'm not going to, even if it's the greatest bargain ever, okay? And that's right there. You look at the average American, that's $150 right there. $150 times two, times the number of households in this church, times 12, and we increase the ministry budget of this church by over $200,000 a year, just on impulse purchases being curtailed. Water and coffee, $2.5 million. When I ran the numbers, I couldn't believe it. $2.5 million. To be able to invest in the kind of ministries that share the good news in this community, that say, you know, in a world that says, you know, your identity is in what you do or what people say about you, your popularity or your lack of popularity, or what you have, your appearances. In a world that says that's what defines you, we get to share the good news of, no, that's a lie, because you're the beloved children of God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through what Christ has done for you and how Christ loves you. The one who said, you're free to run after all these things, but all those things will just lead to bondage. Come into my arms. Come into my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek to be about sharing God's love with all our neighbors. That's our vision. And we can come together to be able to give and to live and to lean and to love into that mission in a world where people, you never know what a person's going through, when they might just need to know that word, that they are a beloved child of God, and that we get to bear witness to that love in this world. That excites me. That gets me up in the morning, to be able to share God's love with all our neighbors. And that's what it's all about. Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all other things God will provide. The things that we really need, God will provide. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the breath of life that I confess that I just don't even think about. The health, the beating of the heart, all the gifts that you give every moment, the gift of this very moment together in the body of Christ. Thank you. Lord, help us to live into that gratitude, to live in that kingdom, and not to find our fulfillment or attempt to find our fulfillment in running after all these other things, but to find our identity and fulfillment in the one who says, nothing will separate you from my love. May we live into that love as our identity and share that love with others in Jesus' name. May we find freedom in faith in your kingdom. Amen.